صل على رسوله الكريم اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم All praises are due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our maker and our creator Allah. And we send darud and salam upon the beloved messenger of Allah ta'ala, Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we send the choicest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba-i-Karam, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Our lesson is on Shaitan's plan for man. Shaitan's plan for man. In this, we were engaged in the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam and his people. The rebellious Sodomist people that lived in and around an area which is now known as the area of the Dead Sea. They would not heed the preaching and the pleading of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wassalam, as a result of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down his punishment and they were wiped out from the surface of the earth. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was such a disastrous one and it took such a terrible course that amongst the nations that have suffered punishment at the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam were amongst those who suffered one of the most terrible calamities, whereby Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tear out from the ground that portion of earth which was occupied by the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. That portion of earth was wrenched and torn out from the ground, raised into the lofty heavens, and then turned upside down. And it came hurtling down with all the inhabitants on it. It came hurtling down, upside down, and it crashed onto the area from which it was torn out. The water that was below the surface of the earth then gushed forth and came on top. And this ground that had been torn out with its inhabitants smashed its way into the ground and submerged. It submerged and the water from below came on top and formed a huge lake so vast and so large that it became known as an inland sea, and that is known as the Dead Sea, the waters of which carry the curse of the people of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. In any case, we have done that in fairly much detail. Towards the end of the story of Nabi Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, I commenced to tell you in a new chapter or an annexure, or that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained and has commanded the ummah of Muslimin, the followers of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to carry out certain commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we were examining in which way and how best we are carrying out these commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What has been our response in comparison to the responses of the people and the nations of the past? This brings us now to the 18th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Ahl al-Mu'mineen, to the believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, فَأَعْرِضْ أَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُهُ النَّبِيُّ الْكَرِيمُ Surah Najm, 53rd Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 29, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so turn away from him who turns away from the remembrance of Allah and seeks nothing more than the life of this world. This is the ultimate objective of their knowledge. This is the direct translation of this ayah of the Quran. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O believers, O Muslimin, O Mu'mineen, turn away, shun, withdraw, keep away from, avoid. Who? That man and that person that man and that woman who turns away from the remembrance of Allah, from the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn away from them, keep away from them, avoid them, shun them, withdraw from their company. From the company of whom? From the company of those, أَمَّنْ تَوَلَّى أَنْ ذِكْرِنَا, those who do not make zikr of Allah, keep away from them, avoid them. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَمْ يُرِدْ إِلَّا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and these people who you should shun, they not only not make zikr of Allah, but they also seek nothing more than the life of this world. Now this, to clear the point of view, there are people who are weak in making zikr of Allah, but they do not run after the dunya. They are people who, with a little encouragement, with a little bit of invitation, will come over and they will make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are merely weak, but they are not bad. Alright, their iman is a bit strong, but they are open to suggestions and they are open to invitation, they are open to da'wat, they are open to tabligh. These people come right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the people that you must shun and withdraw from and avoid and keep away from, they are people who not only not make zikr of Allah, but they are also people who are busily engaged and occupied in search of the dunya. So there is two things. When you want to avoid a person, we are instructed and commanded to avoid those who are not only lax in zikr of Allah, but they are also lovers of the dunya. Then says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, ذَلِكَ مَبْلَغُهُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ. Their occupation, or rather their preoccupation with the dunya, is so extensive that it is the ultimate objective of their life, of their knowledge. According to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should avoid the company of the materialists. For they are a people who love a material existence and who thrive in worldly things and in material possessions. Their life object is material attainment. And in this process, they become irreligious people and they become indifferent to the demands of Islamic faith. Many of them become free-thinking, cynical and skeptical peoples who easily mock religion, and they mock and jeer at religious people. Impiety and irreverence enters their lives quite easily, and hypocrisy becomes a way with them. They become hardened individuals. Sometimes they act over-righteous, as if there's nobody as religious as they are. And sometimes sanctimonious. Sanctimonious meaning they affect devoutness. In other words, they pretend to be very holy people and very pious people, but it is pretense. They also love to rationalize on every matter, particularly matters of religion, matters of deen, so that they can avoid following and obeying the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the laws of the Sharia of Islam. And this is the reason why in the following ayat, the ayat preceding this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these dunya loving people in the following words. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ لَا يُغْنِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ شَيْئًا. Surah Najm, 53rd Surah of the Quran, ayat number 28. The one I recited earlier with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was ayat number 29. In 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes these people to us, what kind of people these are that are dunya loving people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they follow nothing but conjecture. They follow nothing but bare opinion. And verily, conjecture attains not anything of truth. And verily, conjecture, guesswork, is nothing, says Allah, contains nothing of truth. Simple translation would be, they follow not but guesswork, but opinion. And verily, opinion and guesswork contains nothing of truth. So this is what these people are. So they live and they act on theory and opinion, and they waste away their entire lives until it is too late. What a waste of talent, for some of them are fairly well and educated people. I invite you to look around and see for yourselves at the Ummah. Look at the condition of the Ummah. How many of us observe this vital commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shun and to turn away from those who are so caught up in the pursuit and the attainment of this world that they forget the remembrance of Allah ta'ala. They become hard people, perverse people, neglectful people. They want to keep climbing the social ladder and to uphold prestige and to be financially successful peoples. All this they seek to attain at the expense of their deen and at the expense of zikrullah. Today, and this you will notice as you look around you, people of this kind, the material loving worldly people, are those who hold positions of prominence in the Muslim society. They make up the trustees of many of the masajid and madaris. They are the chief office bearers in most Islamic or in most Muslim organizations. They are the people who are trusted as our politicians, as our leaders, and as our professional peoples. Since many of these people are wealthy, they are considered to be successful, and due to their wealth and their success, they are considered by many of us to be trustworthy, to be worthy of our trust. The standard for judging a good Muslim today, it appears, is not piety, but it is wealth. So honor goes the way of the wealthy, and deen and taqwa are buried under mountains of earth. What a strange world we live in, where standards are reversed, and this reversal is condoned by society. Especially contemptuous and disgusting are those who use religion to disguise their lust for the world and their excitement with material things. The company of such world-seeking and world-loving or dunya-loving people is forbidden in the Quran Majid, for they are the friends of shaitan, or at least they are the friends of the shayateen, and they are inclined to sin and evil, and they are a people without a remorse. Consider all this and judge for yourselves the condition of the Ummah. That is all that I ask of you. The 19th command coming up of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran Majid is as follows. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اتبعوا ما أنزل إليكم من ربكم ولا تتبعوا من دونه أولياء. صدق الله العظيم. Surah Araf, 7th Surah of the Quran, ayat number 3, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, follow that which has been sent down to you from your Rabb, from your sustainer, and follow no guides besides Allah, and follow no guides besides Him, and the Him here means, and follow none others besides Allah. Follow no others besides Allah. Look at it again. Follow that. And the word that, ittabi'u ma. What is that ma? It pertains to wahi. It pertains to revelation of Quran and Sunnah. Follow that revelation, follow that wahi, which has been sent down to you by Allah, which has been sent down, ma unzila ilaykum min rabbikum, which has been sent down from Allah, from your sustainer, from your Rabb. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. And do not follow any guides or patrons or any other person besides Allah, or any other way besides the way shown by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now let's look at our response to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to follow wahi. In this command of Allah ta'ala, we are asked to follow only the revelation, the wahi received by Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which consisted of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sunnah of Rasulullah and the Quran is of Allah. Both, however, the basis of it is wahi. There are, however, other ways that exist in the world. The ways devised by the devils and by devilish men. All men are required to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. the learned amongst mankind as well as the illiterate people amongst mankind, all must follow, all of them without exception, must follow Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wise amongst men as well as the weak people amongst men, all of them must follow Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The rich and the poor, all must follow him and none other. Therein lies honor, therein lies esteem, therein lies respect for man, and not in anything else or in any other way. For his life was a reflection of divine revelation. It is such manifestation that men must follow to succeed in the temporary life of this world and in the eternal existence of the hereafter. From time to time there arise amongst men saints and devils. Now here when I use the word devils, I mean human devils. The mark among saints is their piety and their devoutness and their obedience to the Quran and the Sunnah. This is what they live, and this is what they preach, and this is what they ask their disciples to follow and to hold on to and to hold dearly to. They never disobey. These saints and awliyas never disobey, privately or in public, a single command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a single sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The human devils that arise amongst men from time to time are the followers of shaitan. They are opportunists. They are pretenders. They are extremists. They are fanatics. These human devils are demagogues. And I'm giving you a description of human devils that arise amongst mankind from time to time. Where on the one hand we have awliyas being born into this ummah and arising out of this ummah, at the same time you have shayateen al-ins wal-jinn. Shayateen al-ins meaning human devils arising also. And what kind of people are these? Opportunists, pretenders. Later on, I mean, as they mature and they grow older, they see the opportunities, they see the weakness of peoples, and then they grab the opportunity to place themselves in command and in leadership positions. They are great pretenders, extremists and fanatics. They are great demagogues and reactionists. They have a way with people. They notice how they can control peoples, how they can control the lives of people, and then they abuse that power which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted them and blessed them with. They sway people away from the deen with passionate words and with stirring stories, with fancy tales and with embellished stories. This is a great art that human devils have developed. And their art is the use of stirring words and passionate words and many fancy tales and many embellished stories. The naive amongst mankind, the naive amongst us, fall for their lies and their extravagances, and they begin to follow them and their ways. What is amazing is that these followers of such human devils, they can see that these pious frauds are not carrying out the Quran and Sunnah laws required of them. And yet these disciples and followers overlook these weaknesses, or rather these fraudulent ways of theirs and their deceptions. And then many of their disciples even cover it up if they can, and they go on praising them and following them. By their blindness, these naive people introduce sacerdotalism, which means belief in priesthood, a form of Catholicism, in which they say, as long as I follow my priest, whether my priest be right or wrong, or whether he be doing the right thing or wrong thing, as long as I follow him, I will be saved. So this is what I mean. By their blindness, these followers, these naive people, introduce what has been called sacerdotalism, that is to say, belief in a priesthood, in priestcraft, in their midst, and hope that by sticking to them and by holding on to their apron strings and by forgiving their priests for their hypocrisy and their blasphemy, they will all go to Jannah through the intercession of these devilish priests, these human devils in society. I say, therefore, what an anomaly this is in Muslim society, in this ummah of ours. And this anomaly is a complete irregularity. Such a thing should never exist within the Muslim community. This is an anomaly. It's a total and complete irregularity. What is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The command of Allah ta'ala is وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا مِن دُونِهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ, and follow no guides, no patrons besides Allah. Yet a large number of people amongst us, a large number of them, a vast number of them, would rather proceed with a deviation from the Islamic rule and the Islamic formula, and still they would expect to be forgiven. Amongst all the Muslim nations of the world, this is one of the major problems, that many amongst us are so naive, so simple, that we would rather proceed to deviate from the law of Islam and the rule of the Quran. We would rather deviate from that, and we still want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This smacks so much of Catholicism, of priestcraft, and pure hypocrisy. Their lip service and hypocrisy lies in the fact that they still pretend to follow Quran and Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save this ummah from such perversion and reprobation. I've used the word here, perversion and reprobation. The word reprobation I've used in the sense that it is wrong of us to conclude that we can be saved and we can have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is wrong of us to think so when we carry out things which are condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are disapproved by Islam. For these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has condemned and rejected, these things we human beings cannot condone, cannot permit, cannot allow, for we do not have the power over religion. If we continue to carry out the things that have been rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and condemned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will be excluded from salvation and we will be destined to eternal punishment. Many ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that the peoples of the past, when they responded to the call of their and the preaching of their and the propagation of their prophets, when the people responded by rejecting them, by rejecting the Prophet, or by rejecting their teachings, what happened eventually? Eventually they were excluded from salvation and they were doomed to eternal punishment by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we cannot do the things that have been forbidden. We cannot respond in a way that we wish by breaking the law of Islam and still expect to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I say, I ask you again, by way of example, brief mention only, I ask you again to watch the deification of the awliyas and the respect and honor shown to other ways than the Islamic way and the straight path shown by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They want to differ. They want to follow other ways. They want to follow human created ways, devilish ways, and still they want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore I say, consider these facts and learn from them the wisdom of the pure way of Islam. And this brings us to the 20th command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَمْ أَحَدْ إِلَيْكُمْ يَا بَنِي عَادَمَ أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم ولقد عدل منكم جبلا كثيرا أفلم تكونوا تعقلون. Surah Yasin, 36 Surah of the Quran, Ayat number 60, 61 and 62. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. Surah Yasin is a very powerful surah, brothers. If we only know the meaning of the surah, it's tremendous. Let's look at Ayat number 60, 61 and 62. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did I not command you, O sons of Adam, O sons of Adam, did I not command you, O sons of Adam, not to worship Shaitan? Because Shaitan is verily an open enemy of yours. And did I not command you to worship only me? That this is the right path, that this is the straight path. And did I not tell you that Shaitan did lead astray a great multitude of you? Why did you not therefore understand? Let's look at it again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Adam, did I not tell you, did I not ordain for you, did I not command you that you should not worship Shaitan, or that you should not follow Shaitan? You should not worship Shaitan, you should not follow Shaitan. Did I not order you that? Did I not command you that? And did I not tell you that he is your enemy? Not just enemy, not just your adun, no, but adun mubin, clear-cut enemy, visible enemy, known enemy, an enemy which is so well known that he is clear to you when he approaches you, you know that is your enemy. Not an enemy that is hidden away from you. For what does he do? You will know him because he will tell you to be disobedient to Allah and his Rasul. And anyone, anyhow, when you feel a suggestion or a whisper within you or a feeling within you, an incitement within you, which tells you or your conscience, your mind or your heart, that you should neglect your duty or that you should disobey a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you know immediately that this is Shaitan. I mean, what more clearer version do you want? How much more clearer do you want for Shaitan to appear to you? Brothers, why doesn't Shaitan appear to us in his form? He does not appear to us in his form the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created him, for our eyes would not be able to bear the sight of beholding Shaitan. We cannot. We are human beings. We are frail. We are weak. If we were to see Shaitan the way he is created in the form and the shape of fire in which he is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would burn up. Our eyes would burn. We would be scalded. We would not be able to survive. We'd get a heart attack immediately and we'd fall dead. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved us, protected us, safeguarded us by hiding him from our eyesight. So we should be thankful for that. But his waswas and his evil suggestions when he sits next to us or on top of us or behind us or front of us or to the left or to the right of us, don't we recognize him? But every time we get the feeling that we should be disobedient or neglectful, we know it is Shaitan, it cannot be any other. So what I am saying is here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, did I not command you, O children of Adam, not to worship Shaitan, not to obey Shaitan, not to follow Shaitan, because he is your open enemy? And also, did I not tell you, did I not command you to worship only me, meaning to worship only Allah? Subhanallah. Wa ani abuduni. Worship none other but me. La ilaha illallah. Wa ani abuduni. Did I not tell you should worship none other, turn to no other, go to no other, incline to no other but to Allah? Khalisatan lillah. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, did I not tell you, hadha siratun mustaqim, that this is the straight path, the right way? Says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mankind remember this. And it is this very shaitan that I am telling you about, says Allah ta'ala. This very shaitan who led astray vast numbers amongst mankind, a great multitude of peoples. This very shaitan did that. Millions, trillions, billions of people the shaitan has led astray. Muslimin, do not be misled, do not be deceived, do not be deluded by this enemy of yours, shaitan. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends of this ayat number 62 of Surah Yasin by saying, أَفَلَمْ تَكُونُوا تَعَقِلُونَ. Why do you not therefore understand? Why do you not therefore consider? Why do you not stop and think about this? Stop, pause, think, reflect, meditate, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's look at the commentary of this ayat. The Quranic injunction is very, very clear. None should be worshipped besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted one. None should be adored besides Allah. None should be honored besides Allah. None should be esteemed besides Allah. None should be respected besides Allah. None should be surrendered to besides Allah. None should be submitted to besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted one. The divine attributes, meaning the sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, should not be inferred or attributed to anyone else. None should be turned to, none should be relied upon, none should be dependent upon besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted one, by mankind. Now I ask all of you, tell me, think for yourself, consider for yourself, how intelligently and how wittingly are we the Muslimin obeying this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This warning is clearly delivered in Surah Yasin by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not worship shaitan, do not adore shaitan, do not honor shaitan, do not respect shaitan, do not follow shaitan. All these words is meant by this ayat. أَنْ لَا تَعْبُدُ الشَّيْطَانِ. This warning is clearly delivered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yasin. Do not worship shaitan. And the reason for this admonishment and the reason for this warning is clearly stated. إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ. Do not follow him, beware of him, do not worship him. For verily he is to you an open enemy. Shaitan is such a powerful tempter. Shaitan is such a powerful seducer, perverter, corrupter, that he not only manages to cajole and to coax people into following his suggestions, but he actually gets them to submit to his demands and to follow his advice. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the way of Allah, haza siratum mustaqim. This is the straight path, it is the true way, it is the right way, meaning the path of pure worship of one Allah, which is Tawheed Khalis. And immediately thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us again that وَلَقَدْ أَضَلَّ مِنْكُمْ جِبِلًّا كَثِيرًا. And he, the shaitan, did lead astray a great multitude amongst mankind, meaning that, and I will paraphrase it for you, meaning this is what this revelation means. It means, O people, O sons of Adam, do not think that this straight path that you have been asked, that you have been commanded to follow, do not think for a minute, for a second, do not think that it is an easy path to follow. For shaitan is waiting for you all along this path. Every inch of the way of the straight path, shaitan is lurking for you, waiting for you, to trap you, to snare you, to catch you, to turn you away from the straight path. For shaitan will be forever on your tail, and he will forever be on your trail, always trying to mislead you and to seduce you, as he has succeeded doing to many generations amongst the nations of mankind. Shaitan has perverted every religion prior to Islam. If we say there have been 120,000 prophets, messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have come down to mankind, 100,000 plus, and each one came with a deen, each one came with a way, each one came with a sunnah, each one came with a revelation, all of them, 120,000 approximation, 120,000 times messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have come to deliver the message of Allah ta'ala to mankind, and every time he has deviated, every time he has been deluded by shaitan. Because shaitan grabs hold of the nafs of man and then he misleads him and turns him away. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us Muslims, هَذَا فِرَاتٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, this is my straight path. أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا اللَّهِ, and you should not worship but Allah. So many times, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, there is no illah, there is no other God besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that should be worshipped. All these things time and time and time again. وَأَنِ اعْبُدُونِي, worship none other but worship only me. I have instructed you and I have commanded you for all time. Since the beginning of time I have told you, O man, that you should worship none other but, here it is. Every religion, the teaching of every messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shaitan has perverted. And now we come to us, Muslimin. What is our response? Can we withhold shaitan? Can we put him in abeyance? Can we put him out of the way? Can we succeed in outwitting shaitan? Can we overcome shaitan? We have been given the formula. We have been, simple formula, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, this means not only belief in the kalima, but also the practice of that kalima. That is the key which we have been given. Allahu Akbar. So I say that shaitan has perverted every religion prior to Islam. And there have been hundreds of religions taught by thousands of prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all of these have been perverted and corrupted by shaitan. How? Through his insidious and evil suggestions to the people of and to the leaders of these various nations. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he, shaitan, verily he did lead astray a great multitude amongst mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that many, many thousand, millions amongst mankind he has led astray. These are the words of the Quran. He has led astray. What I did at this juncture is to look up and to try and establish as briefly as I could how many has he led astray and by what means. So very briefly, let us look in the next few minutes, how has he led astray, so that we would know and be aware that we should not go astray in the same way. Here is a sample of perverted and lost religions through the seductions and machinations of shaitan. We look at this. And machinations of shaitan. We'll look at this. And I will give you a breakdown of only one. We have had in humanity one very great nation, a vast nation, a huge nation, the African religions. The religions of Africa. Great religions have existed on the continent of Africa. Tell me, all these great religions brought by great Ambiyas and Rasuls to Africa, the continent of Africa. Where are those religions today? Where are those religions today? Do we see it anywhere? I'll give you a breakdown of only one, that is, I've taken as our choice since we live in the continent of Africa. I've given a few examples. In Africa, there existed very great religions like the following religions. There was the AKAN, the ACAN religion. Where is that today? There have been so many Bantu religions in Africa. Where are all these religions today? Look at the culture of the black people. Take them from north to south, east to west of Africa. A deep-rooted culture, religious tradition exists in the black peoples of Africa. Where does it originate from and come from? From the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Quran tells us so, that unto every nation of the earth, says Allah, have I sent a messenger? Have I sent the message? So the prophets did come to them. Where is the religion? Who perverted and corrupted those religions? Quran tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just now I recited those ayat of the Quran for you from Surah Yasin. where are the Dinka religion? Where is the Dinka religion of Africa? The Dogon religion, the Fon religion, the Ganda religion, the Lovedu religion of Africa, the Mende, M-E-N-D-E, Mende religion of Africa, the Nilotic or Nilotic religion of Africa, the Nue, N-U-E-R religion of Africa. These were great religions of Africa. Where are they today? The Shiluk religion of Africa, all special to the continent of Africa. Where is that religion today? The Shona peoples are a great force, a great people of Africa. Where is the Shona religion? Where is the Yoruba, the Zande and the Zulu religions? These people all must originate, you and I know, from Tawheed. Where, what has happened to that Tawheed that they were taught? Why has it come down to such paganism, idolatry? How was it reduced from Tawheed into idolatry, into paganism? There must be a reason. Quran tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he, shaitan, and he verily did lead astray a great multitude of peoples amongst mankind. There it is. He has been successful to pervert and to corrupt the teachings of great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell me secondly, there have been great religions that existed in an area what we call the Amerindian religions, the Americas, particularly South America, Peru, Brazil, Mexico, Chile, all those lands of South America. What has happened? Go there and you will read, or you can read in the history books about the great excavations and the archaeological discoveries that have been made there about ancient religions. We talk proudly about the pyramids of Egypt. Even prior to the pyramids of Egypt, already in Peru and Brazil and Mexico, they had discovered these monuments. These monuments were there. Many of them are still not yet discovered. So brothers, what I am saying is, you and I know it was based on Tawheed. The start was Tawheed. The start was La ilaha illallah. Verily. What happened? Whether it took 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years is immaterial. But what happened that originally it was Tawheed and we were left with Shirk? Why am I asking you this question repeatedly? I'm asking you because we have been asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to watch our step. We have been warned, we have been admonished. The same process should not reflect itself upon the ummah of Sayyidina Nabiyina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look brothers, when those religions started, they started very strongly. The message of those particular anbiyas, the message of those great nabis and rasuls of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was a pure one. And the people who followed them and believed in them did say on oath, we will never leave Tawheed. We will live and die with Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. But what happened? After so many years, what happened to it? It became shirk. It turned into shirk. This religion of Islam is the youngest. What is 1,400-1,500 years, brothers? Nothing at all in history. But look around you. This is what I'm asking. Look around you. Is there shirk in this ummah? Is there kufr in this ummah? Is there nifaq in this ummah already appearing? Yes or no? That you must consider. Here is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And within 1,000 years, what have we done? What have we done with this amana that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has entrusted to us? So we have the Amerindian religions. What about the Egyptian religions? What did Shaitan do there? You know what happened. It was Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and those who preceded Nabi Musa alayhi salatu, thousands of other prophets that preceded him in that particular area. All of them taught La ilaha illallah. What happened? When Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam came, you know what was the position and what was the situation. You have heard people had turned to idolatry. You know that the king was worshipped. What happened? How did it come down to that? Here it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he, shaitan, verily did he lead astray a great multitude amongst of peoples amongst mankind. Every time you find shaitan coming, the seducer and the tempter, the great deceiver, the arch deceiver. Every time he has succeeded, is Shaitan going to succeed with us? Are we going to permit Shaitan to succeed with us? What about the Eastern religions? The greatest religions of the world have come to us from the East. What has happened? All of them were based on truth. All of them were based on revelation and wahi. Where are all the Eastern religions? Where are all the Arctic people's religion? The Arctic areas of the world. There were great religions there. Great prophets appeared there. Where is all those people's religions? What has happened? What about the Chinese religions? China is one of the great civilizations of the world. Has been and is. What has happened? All the great religions that came into China. What has happened to the Chinese religions? What has happened to the Japanese religions? Southeast Asia, that whole, the Japanese are the chief nation and the most powerful nation in that particular area of Southeast Asia. Where is all the Japanese religions gone? Go and see, there everywhere you find gods, Buddhas, all over, in the plains, in the parks and everywhere. Huge, monster-like idols. And people worship these. Look, I think one of the most secularly educated people are the Japanese people. The people with the greatest technological skills, you can tell me yourself, they are the Japanese people. And yet you find the most intelligent and wise amongst them standing in front of these Buddhas and worshipping them and bowing down and prostrating to them. What happened? What happened? Where did things go wrong? Yes, brothers. Shaitan. And I keep repeating to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and he, Shaitan, verily did he lead astray a great multitude amongst the nations of the world. So the Japanese also went, and the Chinese also went, all of them went. What about the great religions of Tibet, the Tibetan religions? What happened there in Tibet? Great religions, you know, Genghis Khan's country. All the great Khans, the surname Khan, that is the area they come from, Mongolia and Tibet. Great powerful nations of the world these people were. The Muslim nations that are of Turkish origin, they come from those people. The blood originates from that area, from these Khans. The great Khans, the Mughal Khans, the Tibetan Khans. Great religions existed there. If you go and you read about or you study the great monasteries that exist in Tibet, then you will know that the origin was truly based Tawhid. Where did Tawhid go? Which force penetrated which force penetrated into the minds and the consciences of these monks that are there in order to take away Tawhid and replace it with Shirk? Tell me, how powerful you think Shaitan is? If Shaitan is so powerful that the Khans were physically and mentally the wisest and the most learned and educated people of an era, of a certain era of the past. They ran across Asia and they plundered the whole of Asia. Almost onto the doorsteps of Europe they came, the Khan people. So powerful, so brave, and so intelligent they were. Because if you read through history, you will find that the first educational institutes in the world originate from that part of the world. So if they were such a powerful and such a learned people, brothers, what went wrong? You and I say we are immune, astaghfirullah, immune from Shaitan. No. No nation and no person, no human on earth is immune from penetration, from waswas, from shaitan. Not even the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through wahi, reveals to them that this is shaitan that is waswasing you, and through revelation they come to know and they recognize him, and then of course they shoo him away. They drive him away. So those great and mighty Tibetan religions, Mongolian religions, what happened there? Shaitan again. And brothers, what about the European religions? After all those areas of the Far East, then came the turn of Europe. And in Europe, and in Asia, in Europe, all these European religions arose. They were intelligent. You know, even up to today, how clever the European peoples are, how intelligent they are. And yet, even their religions were perverted by Shaitan. Now where do you and I come, we Muslimin, where do we come into the picture? when all these people have been deceived and beguiled by Shaitan? And then I say, what about the Pacific religions, all these islands, hundreds, perhaps even thousands of islands that exist all over the Pacific? And there are many, many nations there. All of them received La ilaha illallah. What happened there? If you go to these Pacific islands, you will find religion so debased that they are carrying out traditions and rituals and cultures and customs that are so medieval, so ancient, it is unbelievable for you in this day and age to see people worshipping trees and plants and gods and handmade objects. The very things Quran speaks about. You think Quran is speaking about the past? Quran is speaking even about the present. In these islands of the Pacific Ocean, you will find there that the peoples are engaged in ritual worship, in animism, in ancestor worship, in grave worship, which will shock you to the depths of your bones. That is in existence. Then I ask you, Rome, or the Roman religions, what happened there, all those Roman religions that existed? How did Shaitan succeed to wipe all of them out? Millions upon millions of people have been led astray by Shaitan. He has led people into the worship of angels. He has led people into the worship of heroes, into the worship of spirits. In other words, leave Allah. Shaitan has managed to take people away from the worship of one almighty, powerful Allah, into the worship of angels, stones, heroes, spirits, visions, into the worship of ghosts, stars, and other heavenly bodies in the cosmos, into the worship of plants and trees and animals. Na'uzu billah. How has Shaitan achieved this? Shaitan's doing, brothers. This is Shaitan's doing, and he succeeded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and verily, he Shaitan, he succeeded. He did lead astray. He did lead astray. He did succeed in leading astray a great multitude of peoples amongst the nations of the world. He, Shaitan, has been particularly strong in driving people to the worship of graves, to the worship of tombs and saints. Shaitan has secretly, and let me tell you, and I told you right at the beginning, that Shaitan succeeded in coming to the people of the son of Nabi Adam alayhi salam, called Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he came to the people, the followers of Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam, and the first act of shirk that he introduced to the followers of Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam after the demise of Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam was a saint that lived in the period. He was very close to Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam. His name was Mihlail. And when Mihlail died, Shaitan came to the people of Nabi, and after Nabi Shisa alayhi salam passed away, he died, and then Mihlail was alive. And people came, I've told the story already, and people after a period, after a few hundred years, because they used to live for very long periods at that time, then Shaitan came to the people and he said, you know, Mihlail has died and Nabi Shis has died, and you know, you people must remember them. I mean, you can't allow them to be wiped out of your memory. So you know what you should do? You people should, you know, you people should go there, and you people should respect, show your honor and respect to the graves of these people. So the first form of shirk introduced in the world by Shaitan was grave worship or saint worship. And he told them, he did not tell them to go to the grave of Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam first. He started lower. He says, no, you know, Mihlail was a great saint, he was a father, and it is said, it is in the rawayat, it is contained in the rawayat, that thousands of, while Mihlail was alive, thousands of people used to come and visit. Because after Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam had passed away, then people used to come to him during his lifetime. Nabi Shisa alayhi salam, during his lifetime, people used to come all over to meet Nabi Shisa alayhi salatu wasalam. One of his disciples was Mihlail. And people used, after Nabi's passed away, people used to come to, they used to come to Mehlail, and Mehlail used to tell them about Nabi Adam alayhi salam and Nabi Adam alayhi salam's ahadith, sayings with regard to his stay in Jannah. Nabi Adam alayhi salatu wasalam used to describe to his people, to his followers, to his children, they were his children, he used to describe to them his experiences in Jannah, and what he saw there, and how he lived there, and how the fruits of Jannah, and how the flowers of Jannah, and how the streams of Jannah, and how the comfort of paradise is. Right? He was a person who had seen it, so he could describe it. His son, Nabi Shis alayhi salatu wasalam, inherited this capacity from his father, and he also used to very beautifully describe Jannah to the people. And people used to come to Nabi Shis alayhi salatu wasalam, and after him to Mihlail, they used to come, and certain, there are thousands from far away. Mihlail was also one of the most, a very handsome man. So people used to also come there. He had great beauty in him. People used to come. And of course, when Mihlail died, he was not followed immediately by a prophet. Or if there was a prophet, he was in another region of the world. Alright? And then Shaitan came along, disguised as a saintly person, as a wise person, as a pious person, and came to the people and he said, well, look, you know, you people can't simply forget Mihlail, and you should go to his grave and offer your condolences and offer your prayers. And brothers, Shaitan knew, they will go to the grave and they will not worship him, but the next generation is going to worship Mihlail. Shaitan knew, he knows the weaknesses of man. And this is exactly what happened. A century, it took 2 centuries, 3 centuries, and people started worshipping Mihlail. And from there they said, why Mihlail? Let's go to the Prophet. And so they went to Shis and they started worshipping his grave. Brothers, this is a story of shirk. And Shaitan has followed that pattern all along. And he has reduced people into these forms of shirk. Allahu Akbar. Shaitan has secretly divulged to man the joys of harvest festivals, the joys of ritual dances, and the joys of collective feasts and functions, of art and symbolism, of worship of astrology, of believing in horoscopes, of animism, of pantheism. Pantheism meaning of believing in many gods. A god for this and a god for that, and a god for this and a god for that. God for wind and a god for air. A god for fire and a god for water. A god for seasons, a god for weather, a god for day, a god for night. For every occasion, a god. Pantheistic belief. Who introduced this? Shaitan. And of polytheism. Polytheism is shirk. Belief in more than one god. Who brought this? Shaitan. Shaitan has introduced the misery of occult beliefs and practices into mankind to destroy religion by its very roots through the introduction of ancestor worship, demon worship, which we call Satanism, of voodoo and hoodoo, of magic, Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam's time, Nabi Sulaiman's time, of magic and sorcery and numerology. Numerology, you know, belief in numbers. They play numbers either on cards or by writing them down, and through these numbers they carry out the art of divination. Palmistry. All haram. These things are all haram, brothers. Palmistry. Who invented this and introduced it into mankind? Shaitan. Divination and so on. There's so many different terms of this kind. All of them fall under the occult practices. Shaitan then, and with each generation, as mankind went along in time, Shaitan came out with new things to pervert religion. And Tawheed, I mean thereby. Shaitan then formulated hermetism. This part of it, listen to. The development, how Shaitan has been perverting religion all along. And I'm going to bring you right up to the time of Islam. And we'll end off for today's lesson. Shaitan formulated hermetism. H-E-R-M-E-T-I-S-M. Shaitan formulated hermetism to pervert religion throughout Europe and Asia, especially Judaism and Christianity. And what is this hermetism? This hermetism is by leading men to a belief in talismans. And talismans are charms, bracelets and amulets. And by introducing to Europe and Asia in particular, and elsewhere in the world as well, to the leading men of a community, a belief in astral magic and in mystical gnosis, meaning that knowledge, not faith, is the basis of salvation. That knowledge is the most important. This happened with Judaism, this happened with Christianity and many other things, that you know that it is knowledge. If we have the knowledge, the practice, the a'mal are not important. It is the knowledge that is important. So here by mystical gnosis means as long as we have the knowledge and we know about this universe, that is sufficient to save us in the hereafter. And also hermetism means, and this is not hermit, M-I-T, it is hermetism. And in assuming a hierarchy of gods under the one supreme God and an elaborate structure of symbolic representations throughout nature. This is what he introduced. The European mind and the Asian mind is a very clever one, a very tricky one. It has got a philosophical bent. Now Shaitan had to devise a stratagem which was so devious that it could penetrate that European mind and pervert their religion. Take them away from Tawheed and bring them into Shirk. Now Shaitan, well, we know how clever he is, how tricky he is, and how good he is in outfoxing and in out-tricking people, and snaring people. So Shaitan, for the European mind and the Asian mind, did this, and he created this, what we call hermetism, which I have now described for you. Then let's go on. When people became wise to the ways of Shaitan, he would yet not be driven away. He did not want to be driven away. He kept creating. He kept inventing new structures, new ways, new methods, new schemes, new plans. He kept duplicating his old ones. Kept duplicating his old ones. And he kept founding newer and variant forms of unbelief. Thus, he brought men eventually into contact through hero worship, God worship, honor worship, ancestor worship, saint worship, grave worship, leader worship. What did he bring about? He created these following, from Tawheed, he created these religions. All of them at once were true religion. All true religion in the Quran is called Islam. All of these were originally Islam, in other words, Tawheed, and all of them became Shirk. I will name you a few of them. Only a few. There's hundreds more. Here they are. Thus Shaitan, by his wily ways and his clever schemes, he brought men into contact with Hinduism, Brahmanism. You know, Brahmanism is high and low. There are highs and there are lows amongst people. There are segments amongst people. There are untouchables and touchables and so on. There are high class and low class, high caste and low caste. Whose plan was this? Man didn't invent this. Shaitan suggested to man, and so the order of Brahmanism was invented. Zionism has got a similar thing. Right? Judaism also enacted, and they also came out. Amongst the Jews, brothers asked them, and Judaism there is also, there are highs and there are low, high caste and low caste in Judaism. The Jews today may laugh at the Hindus. Very rigidly worked in them. You will find that there are certain families that will not marry into another family, just because the one is high caste and the one is low caste. They try to hide this away from us, but it is a structure of Judaism, built into them by their priests. How? Through the seductions of Shaitan. This was Shaitan's perverting the Judaic religion, the religion of Nabi Musa, alayhi salatu wassalam. Now, too much details I can't go into. So, we say, thus Shaitan brought man into contact and introduced into mankind Hinduism, Brahmanism, Buddhism, Taoism. Taoism was in those areas I mentioned earlier, China and Tibet and Mongolia and all those places. Taoism, Jainism, Zionism. Zionism is also an invention of Shaitan. Brothers, mark my words, this is true. Mithraism, Arianism, Shintoism, Shamanism, and Sabaism, and hundreds of other isms. All of these hundreds of isms were introduced into mankind through the waswas of the shayateen. All of this led people away from the worship of one true Allah and away from the honorable, the teachings and the preachings of the honorable messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the straight paths. All of mankind deviated, and the deviation was caused by the deceptions of shaitan. As men supposedly advanced and became better educated with the advance of time, shaitan also geared himself up to lead them astray from the straight path. Shaitan introduced into the minds and into the consciences of men the sciences of hermeneutics. We're coming now closer to our era and our age. What did shaitan invent? He sat down and he thought and he consulted his army, his followers, his disciples. Shaitan holds a mashura every day. Well, let's put it this way, it's not one shaitan, but the shayateen are a massive, they are more in number than mankind. And they have their mashuras everywhere where there is humanity situated, particularly Muslims. Then they meet, they every morning, every evening they meet to decide how many people have we corrupted and how many Muslims have we perverted. How well have we succeeded in perverting the religion of Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Muslims are our greatest enemy. My children, my sons, what have you done? What have you achieved today? How many homes have you broken? How many have you made commit zina? How many marriages have you broken up? How many have you caused to sin? How many people have you caused to neglect salah? So on and so on. All this they must answer to the Amir of the Shaitans, the leader of the Shaitans, chief of the Shaitans. Every morning and evening they must answer, and then they are put onto duty. All of you, you batch, you thousand, you 2,000 go and tackle the, you go and attack that one, you go to that masjid, you go to that place. Yes, brothers. So Shaitan now, for the modern mind, let's say, or as time went on, first there was the science of Hermetism. That was Europe and Asia. And then after that came the period where the mind of man advanced even further, or so-called progress was made, mental progress. And so Shaitan introduced into the minds of men the sciences of hermeneutics. And he made man to acknowledge scholasticism and secularism. Yeah, you can say secularism or humanism as well, doesn't matter. Through hermeneutics, Shaitan made people to be able to do and to give broad interpretations and wide-ranging philosophical meanings to be given to wahi, to revealed literature, to revelation. In other words, you take the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you take the other ordainments and decrees, divine decrees of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as contained in Torah and Injil and in Zabur. Alright? We're talking about pre-Islamic time. So what did he do? Through the science of hermeneutics, Shaitan coaxed the priests and the leaders and the elders through the science of hermeneutics to give broad, wide interpretations and philosophical meanings to wahi, to revealed literature. Through scholasticism, Shaitan showed men how excessively subtle implications of revealed truth can be given through the authority of logic. Mankind, you Allah, God, Allah has blessed you with so much logic, so much good sense. Now with this you must rationalize. In other words, now you must try and say, you know, that Christians, Jews, you know, the day of the Sabbath is Saturday, but you know it's such a busy day. So the priests were given the craftiness whereby they gave an interpretation that business can be conducted on a Saturday. That the Sabbath, meaning of the Sabbath is not that they should refrain from conducting business dealings on Saturday. No, what it means is it's got other implications. Allahu Akbar, brothers, in this, I don't want to go into too many details, but through the science of hermeneutics and through the science of scholasticism, Shaitan showed men how excessively subtle implications it implies this and it implies that and it implies, so you know, Allah and God doesn't want you to do exactly this, but you can do it this way. You know, and so on. And for example, you know, Jews you may not rob and pillage, but if you do it to non-Jews, then of course there is permission for that, and so on. Things like of that nature and that kind. This is what I mean. They are Gentiles and you are Jews. So there's a difference between the two. So Judaism permits that to the Gentiles you can do this, and you must not do it to your own. This is how he went on. So that is one, I'm talking about the Judaic, and the Hindus had their own, and the Buddhists had their own, and so on and so on and so on. Through scholasticism, Shaitan showed men how excessively subtle implications of revealed truths can be given through the authority of logic. To the Christians, for example, he came and said, look, you know, there is belief in one God. Now, I am not telling you high priest. I am not telling you great priest. I am not telling you honored one, that you should not worship one God. All I am telling you is divide the one into three, so that there is a place for the Son and there is a place for the Holy Ghost. So Holy Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Father, and the three, a Trinity, it's still one. Something that man cannot understand, that is completely illogical, Shaitan managed to get the high priests to accept it. Who did this? Shaitan did this. Brothers, this is how Shaitan has achieved success over mankind. And then the authority of logic he stamped on. He said, through logic everything is possible. That is what scholasticism means. Through reason and logic, every interpretation and implication is possible. This led, scholasticism led to the development of dialectical methods of reasoning and to the use of subtle distinctions. Then we have secularism, and I said you may use the word humanism here, I mean it in its broader context, humanism or existentialism or Marxism, you know, all these things you can use here, but I've used one, secularism. Through secularism, Shaitan entered into the conscience of men. The need to separate religion from politics and morals and education and social life and all the rest of it. In other words, you must now separate, which the Christians so nicely say, separate church from religion, from faith. So this is what Shaitan did. Through secularism, Shaitan entered into the conscience of men the need to separate religion from the rest of life. He made men feel, and then now Shaitan goes about it. Once he's introduced hermeneutics, and he's introduced scholasticism, and he's introduced secularism into man's way of life as paths, as ways. Sirat al-Mustaqim, and these are also the ways which Allah Ta'ala called the ways of Shaitan, the ways of evil. So what he has done here, what Shaitan did, now he comes back to these people, the leaders of men who invented this and devised all these dialectical forms and methods. He made men feel very worthy and very scholarly, very accomplished and very proficient. He praised them. He infused pride into men, and he subtly developed their ego and their self-esteem, the merits of degrees. Now he comes to them, he says, you know, you must give qualifications, your degrees, doctorates, whole convocations, ceremonies. You must have schools, academies, universities, and all these institutions you must have. All these were boosted up in the minds of men. And so it came about that education replaced religion as the most important sphere of activity for mankind. Shaitan achieved this. Shaitan was ever the artful one. People needed to have faith in something. Now Shaitan discovers that in spite of all these things he has done, people still want to hold on to some kind of faith, some kind of religion. So look what Shaitan does now. Shaitan was ever the artful one. People needed to have faith in something. People needed to believe in something. People needed to grasp on to something. People needed a set of rules. People needed initiation. People needed slogans, people needed guidelines, people needed procedures. Shaitan, man's everlasting enemy, invented through his evil suggestions new orders and new groups for men. And I name some of them. Now Shaitan comes with a new invention. And this is his most recent one. Shaitan, from between the 16th, what I'm talking about now is from the 16th century to the 20th century. Shaitan now has come along with this new. Now he said, well, you need a religion, but not Tawheed, not Islam. I'm going to give you something, Shaitan. I'm going to devise and set and use you, but it is not going to be Islam. Not the religion of Allah and not the religion of Sayyidina Nabina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I'm going to give you an alternative way That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هذا صراط مستقيم. You follow this way. This is the right way. And you follow no other way. Last week I quoted that. It is a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You follow this way and no other way. What is that other way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about? Here is those other ways that people are believing in. And I tell you now that there are amongst many of the Muslim governments and nations of the world, many officials and many leaders that belong to these orders and groups that I'm going to mention now. Na'udhu billah. This is fact. They belong to these orders. And these orders are an invention of Shaitan. Shaitan created these orders through his waswas. Here they are. Shaitan, man's everlasting enemy, invented through his evil suggestions, new orders and new groups for mankind, such as the Illuminati. I'm not going to describe these to you. One or two I may describe. I can't describe all of them. It's not necessary. The Illuminati. The Knights Templars. About the Knights Templars, I told you in the Crusaders. That was their invention. The Knights Templars. This movement you may have heard of, the Rosicrucians. Invention of Shaitan. Rosicrucian movement. The Freemason movement. Freemasons are a discovery of Shaitan. In other words, he invented this grave and put it into the minds of these people. This is how you must do. This is how you can control the world. This is how you can control the economies of governments. You make this movement. Who? It is a religion.